Good morning. Welcome to St. Paul's, and a special welcome to our visitors who are worshiping with us today. I'm guessing that this past week, Monday, you heard all the hubbub about the solar eclipse. Maybe you even watched as the path was tracing across our country. And you probably also heard the warnings, don't look at the sun, turn away from it. Well, this morning, we get to see how the path of a special message of God is traced. Ever since Easter happened, the message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, that is a message that tells us, turn away from our sins and turn toward our Savior. So our risen Lord calls for repentance. We'll follow along in our worship using the order of service in our bulletin and projected on the wall as well, opening hymn 450. Stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. By the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our first lesson for today, taken from Acts chapter 3, is Peter's sermon there at the temple as he preached, "Repent." While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus." This is God's word. Our second lesson for today from 1 John chapter 1 and 2, when the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, we can pretty much count on that. God is faithful in sending his Son to all creation. In the same way, God, who is light, is faithful. Anytime we confess, anyone who confesses their sins, he forgives them. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is God's word. Stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for today, taken from Luke chapter 24, in the same way that the sun sends light to shine on all nations, this message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins would go out to all nations as well. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for hymn 466. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from your living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word we consider for the sermon today, first lesson from Acts 3. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On November 22nd, 1963, shots rang out throughout the downtown area of Dallas, Texas. President John F. Kennedy was making his way in the motorcade toward his next speaking engagement. Yet one of those shots, a bullet hit him in the neck. Another one hit him in the head. He was immediately rushed to a nearby hospital, where not long after he was pronounced dead. If you were alive on that day here in the United States, there's a pretty good chance that you remember exactly where you were, who you were with, and what you were doing when that story reached your ears. And if you're alive today, even if you weren't alive back then, it's almost certain that you have heard about that happening, because decade after decade, there have been more stories, articles, documentaries, and movies all about that story, JFK's assassination. When an event like this happens, it is said this story has legs, because it keeps running and running and coming to more and more people. I'm pretty sure that the people who were at the temple in Acts chapter 3 that day remembered who they were with and what was going on for years to come. Peter and John had gone to the temple at about 3 in the afternoon. This was the time for prayer and the time of the evening sacrifice. So the temple would have been crowded with people, plenty of people there. As Peter and John went past the temple gate called Beautiful, there was a man there, a lame man, whose friends would bring him there day after day to beg in the temple courts. Yet when Peter and John noticed this man, they decided, we're going to give him something so much more valuable than silver or gold. They gave that man healing in the name of him who owns everything in heaven and on earth, who has all of the riches of the heavenly realms to give out freely. In the name of Jesus Christ, they healed that lame man. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. This man had legs, legs that now worked. And everybody else's legs started working at the temple too. They ran together around this man because they all knew this man who had been lame. He was a fixture at the temple. But now he was no longer fixed. He was freed. Yet Peter took the opportunity to make sure that for those who had run to him there at the temple, that the real story didn't run right past them. Peter cared about these people after all. They were fellow Israelites. He shared with them in thousands of years of history. So Peter discouraged them. Don't stare at me and John as if our own strength or our own sanctity brought this about. So this is God's story. God gets the credit for this. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God who promised to bless all nations through one of Abraham's descendants, the God who credits righteousness to us by faith, the living God, who is the God of the living, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he has glorified his servant Jesus. Yes, Jesus was disowned and betrayed. He was handed over to Pilate to be put to death. Jesus was traded for a murderer, traded the author of life so that a murderer would be set free. And Jesus, the author of life, was put to death, but then raised to life. That's the story. And Peter and John were witnesses of it. Peter and John together had raced to the empty tomb, had peered in there and seen nobody's there. Peter and John had seen Jesus risen from the dead with their own eyes. They had spoken with him, listened to him. They had seen Jesus eat. They had touched his hands and his side. He's not a ghost. They had shared a meal with him. That's the real story. Jesus, risen from the dead. Not a lame man who was raised to his feet, but the author of life who was raised from the dead. The real story that has legs, that was not a beggar who would sit at the gate in the temple. It was the servant of God who suffered outside the gate of Jerusalem. That story had legs that had run throughout all the prophets down to the time of Peter and John, and that story would continue running century after century, even to today. And so here's a key point for you and me. That story runs week after week here. That story is available running online on your device month after month. Don't let it run past you. Don't be unaffected or unimpressed by it. That is the story that is most directly and most eternally impactful for you as a human being in your entire existence. There are so many other stories that we get bombarded with week after week. Stories about sagas in politics with hearings and fines and court appearances and elections. Stories about celebrity deaths like O.J. Simpson. Stories about severe weather or ongoing wars all around the world. But don't let this story pass you by. Walk back through it again. Praise God for it. Jump into this story over and over and run with it as you go throughout the rest of your life. Because this story has legs. Legs to run through history straight to you. This story also has legs to turn around sinners like you and me. So who was responsible for JFK's assassination? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald? Was it the KGB? Was it the mafia? Or was it some other entity within the American government or military-industrial complex? There are so many different theories and opinions about who was responsible for JFK's death. But when it comes to Jesus' death, Peter leaves no room for doubt. Who was responsible? You. Listen to Peter again. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Peter was speaking to people who worshiped the true God, Israelites. Peter was speaking to people who regularly appeared in God's house to worship him and hear what he had to say. Peter was speaking to people who didn't physically lay a hand on Jesus and didn't personally give the order for Jesus' execution. Peter was speaking to people who did not press the crown of thorns down into Jesus' head, who did not pound the nails into Jesus' hands and feet, who did not place the cross into the upright position in the ground. Nevertheless, Peter was speaking to people who were personally responsible for Jesus' death. It's you. Peter says to you and me, by the sins that you have walked into and gone back to and continued to run with as you go throughout life, your lust and your lying and your laziness, your manipulation and your materialism, loving the things of this world so much more than the riches of the heavenly realms, your grudges, your greed and your gossip. With all of that, you have traded the author of life and you have demanded a deadly substitute. I have too. And so Peter says, repent. Walk away from those things. All of those sins that you, as a regular churchgoer, walk back into week after week, leave them behind. Run away from them, turn away from them, confess them and cut them out of your life. Repent and renounce them. Not long after JFK was assassinated, that man, Lee Harvey Oswald, was arrested for the murder of JFK. But only 2 days later, after he was in custody, Lee Harvey Oswald himself was shot and killed. Then they had an investigation anyways, run by a Supreme Court justice, which concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald had shot the president. But he was dead and gone. In the Supreme Court of the Most High God, you and I have been found guilty because of our sins. But those are dead and gone. Because of this story that has legs, the story of Jesus, your sins are in the past. Leave them behind. Turn away from them. Continue walking with the story that has legs as it leads you and me, sinners, to turn around. But this story that has legs also, it brings about relief. You want to see relief? You look at that man in the temple who had been lame, who was healed by the power of Jesus' name. No longer did that guy have to sit there for hours on end. No longer was he dependent upon others to carry him from place to place. No longer was he stuck begging week after week. He had relief, a burden lifted off of his shoulders, and you could see that relief as he jumped around, as he praised God, as he clutched on to Peter and John in thanks and amazement and happiness. Relief is what God has in store for everyone who repents, including you and me. Listen to what Peter says. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Everyone who repents, that is, turns away from their sin in terror and turns toward their Savior in trust, your sins are wiped out, cleared away without any speck, even a spot, wiped clean with no smudge or stain anymore, washed away without any trace of them having been there, similar to a glass coming out of the dishwasher, sparkling clean, clear as crystal, can't see anything on it. Your sins have been wiped out. And even though John wasn't preaching the sermon that day, John, who wrote our second lesson for today, says the same thing. He says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Sins wiped out, purified from all unrighteousness. And what that brings is times of relief, or as this translation has it, times of refreshment. This refreshment is relief from an obligation or a trouble in your life. You have no more obligation to suffer or pay for sins because Jesus did that for you on the cross. You have no more trouble with God because Jesus took all that trouble on himself on Good Friday. God's hand of anger and guilt that pressed down on you and me has been lifted so that we can breathe again. We have relief. And you've known this relief ever since you've known Jesus as your Savior. you are refreshed in this relief every day as you remember, I'm a baptized child of God. There at the font, I was washed clean through water and the word. What a relief. You experience this relief again today as you approach the Lord's table and receive Jesus' body and blood with the bread and wine for your forgiveness. Earlier in the service, this relief became yours again as you heard the words, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You live this relief as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And you rediscover this relief as throughout the week you open your scriptures and read them for yourself and with your family. What amazing relief. The Lord sends this relief, these times of refreshment, even and especially when we're going through difficulties. The Apostle Paul, when he was imprisoned in Rome, suffering for the gospel and awaiting the crown of life that God had in store for him, pretty much everyone abandoned him, didn't want to be associated with Paul. But there was this one Christian man by the name of Onesiphorus. He made his way to Rome, sought out Paul, found him, and brought him refreshment. The same word that Peter uses in his sermon. And this refreshment was likely some food and drink, maybe some supplies, some manuscripts, some clothing for prisoner Paul, but it certainly included the bread of life, strengthening words of Jesus, who, when he gives us water, that water wells up to eternal life for us. When you find yourself imprisoned by your guilt, when you look around and you see bars of difficulty and you feel trapped, God himself sends an Onesiphorus for you. Not by that name, but he sends the Messiah, even Jesus, to bring refreshment to you. Jesus seeks you out and finds you personally with his word and with his sacrament for times of refreshment. Oh, what relief. The story has legs. The story of Jesus, your risen Savior, as it brings about refreshment and relief for you week after week. When JFK was still president, he pledged that by 1970, there will be a United States astronaut, someone from the U.S. will land on the moon. Yet assassinated in 1963, he didn't get to see that happen. But after his assassination, the NASA Launch Operations Center down in Florida was renamed in Kennedy's honor, the Kennedy Space Center. For the last 6 decades, rockets have been launching off of that launch area over and over, up into outer space. After Jesus died and rose again, he launched the message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins from Jerusalem with the force of a rocket engine or greater. That gospel has been propelling from there ever since. On Pentecost, 3,000 people repented and were baptized, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. After Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 3, that number of believers in Jerusalem skyrocketed up to 5,000, and it has continued to climb down through every generation, across every nation, ever since. Did you realize that right here at St. Paul's is another launch pad for that message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins? And you and I, we get to count down to it every week as it blasts off to people all around us. That message will continue soaring higher and higher until our patient God, who is patient with everyone, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, till he decides it's time to come back down to earth. And then, that story that has run through history to you, that story that has turned around sinners like you and me, that story that has brought about refreshment for us over and over, that story will keep on running. Throughout the new heavens and the new earth, it will resound forever. After all, this story has legs. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith in that amazing story that keeps on running, using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Continue with prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for preserving Carol Schutte when she was hit by a vehicle in a parking lot late in March. Please bless her recovery and rehab, and continue to grant strength according to your gracious will. And hear us as we pray in our Savior's name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms and placed all things under his feet for the benefit of the church. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." Be seated for the distribution. And if you're visiting with us today at St. Paul's, please note our practice of close communion.